We have spent the holy season of Lent diving into the depths of God's cleansing waters, learning what it means to live our baptism. We've said that living in the waters of baptism, we learn to see ourselves as God's beloved. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we seek to turn from our sin, from all that we do that brings harm upon ourselves and others and creates estrangement with God. As God loves us with water, the stain of our sin and shame and guilt and all the terrible things others have taught us to believe about ourselves, every stain is washed away in the healing, forgiving waters of God's love. In baptism, we vow to follow Jesus, to name him Lord of our lives, and to pledge our ultimate allegiance to the kingdom of God. And just as Jesus in his baptism experienced the call of God upon his life and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit upon him for his life's mission, so we in our baptism begin to discover God's call for our lives and are anointed by God's Spirit for our vocation. We are baptized into Christ and into the body of Christ as members of one another to continue the ministry and mission of Jesus in the world. We now belong to the family of God, never to be alone again, with more brothers and sisters than we could ever count to love and care for one another. In baptism, we identify with Christ in both his death and resurrection. As we're immersed in the baptismal waters, the Bible says we are buried with Christ. We die to our old way of living. And as we rise from the baptismal waters, we are raised with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. One of my favorite ways of describing this walking in newness of life comes from the farmer and poet Wendell Berry, who at the end of one of his poems pens the phrase, "Practice resurrection. Practice resurrection." Such a life-giving pair of words both encapsulates the meaning of our baptism and sends us forth on our mission as God's people. Practice resurrection is a form of spiritual practice, learning the ways we can experience new life. Since the resurrection of Jesus means the defeat of death, then we can embrace life in all of its fullness. We can learn to see resurrection happening all around us. This dying and rising is a lifelong journey of transformation. There continue to be things we do, like an old habit we need to break, which undermine our resurrection lives. And so on this day of new life, we can say once again to those harmful things, "Watch me with God's help, turn away from you." We begin to let go of the things that are killing us. And if in baptism we die to our old self, our false self, our old patterns of death and destruction, we then rise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life, in the ways of resurrection. And it is the work of the Spirit in our lives that helps us finally let go of our past and begin to practice resurrection. Where in your life do you need to practice resurrection? Baptism is also a powerful symbol of our resurrection in the life to come. Our lives do not end in death. In dying, we receive the final healing, the universal homecoming. near the end of his life, Jesus spoke to his bewildered and grieving disciples, and he said to them, as he says to us in our own grief, "Let not your hearts be torn apart by trouble. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Abba's house, there are many rooms, more rooms than we could ever know. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may also be." It is the great homecoming. The disciples that night in the upper room could scarcely have believed what Jesus said was to come. It went beyond all they could ever imagine. But following his Friday death came Sunday morning, the one we call Easter, when God was raised from the dead and all heaven started breaking loose. 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul's great sermon on the resurrection. He begins by recounting all the resurrection appearances of the risen Christ to his disciples and then to others in the days following Easter. Paul even recounts his own encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. And as he brings the sermon to a climax, he says, "Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who died." That is, his resurrection will be yours too. His resurrection is just a sign of things to come. "For in Adam," he says, "we all die. So in Christ we shall all be made alive." In the book of Acts, it is called the restoration or reconciliation of all things. That time when, to use Paul's words, God will be all in all. It is the resurrection of all God's children into the everlasting arms. Near the end of his resurrection sermon, Paul says, shouts, sings, "Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I heard of a church that put that verse above the door of the nursery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Yes. Resurrection metaphors everywhere. Then Paul says it again. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed." Changed and transformed in the light of God's eternal love, the light that purifies and heals. John Donne, the great 17th century poet and preacher at St. Paul's Cathedral in London, once preached a sermon on the resurrection, and he pronounced his own resurrection hope. He said, "I shall rise from the dead, from the prosternation of death." I'm not sure what prosternation is, but it sounds like something I want to rise from. "I shall rise from the dead, from the prosternation of death, and never miss this sun. For I shall see the Son of God and shine myself as that sun shines. I shall rise from the grave and never miss this city, for I shall see the city of God, the new Jerusalem." Home, dying and rising, resurrection life, a new birth, a new creation. Do you believe it? Do I believe it? With most of me, I do, and not just on Sundays. As for doubts you and I may share, doubts are not a disqualification. They just mean we're dealing with something related to God. Paul said we all see through a glass darkly, but one day we'll see face to face. We have faith in a love that wins, in a grace that saves. Baptism is a sign of rising, of resurrection in this life and in the life to come. It is a belief that undergirds my living and is my gladdest hope. Even when grief places a veil before our eyes and keeps us from noticing the ways Jesus continues to appear in our lives with resurrection hope, sending our hearts into a wilderness, we can always, as Jesus did, return to our baptism and remember who we are and whose we are. The beautiful poetic theologian Ann Voskamp writes, "Maybe the only way Jesus could bear going into the barren wilderness for 40 days was because God had just bathed him in baptismal waters and marked him with that name, Beloved. In a loud world, you can only know the way through your wilderness if your true name echoes within, Beloved. Maybe," she writes, "maybe our greatest crises aren't the wildernesses we find ourselves in, but that we don't believe we are wildly loved in the midst of them. Maybe the secret way out of every single wilderness is to actually feel really deeply loved. For we are marked by love, for love. And the one who came through the fire names us Beloved, and we are his, and he is ours forever, and so with him we can do nothing less than rise." In the ancient church, baptismal candidates would stand in the river at dawn on Easter morning, and as a way of turning from the power of sin in their lives, they would turn to face the darkened west and renounce the powers of darkness. Then they would turn to the east toward the rising sun and declare, "Jesus Christ is Lord." As we seek to daily live our baptism, we would do well to pray the words of the poet priest Gerard Manley Hopkins, as he says of the risen Christ, "Let him Easter in us." Yes. May Christ Easter in us until that day of our final resurrection. Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. Our time of response this Easter day, we will sing hymn 207, "Lo in the Grave." If there are any decisions you wish to make this day, you can make them here at the front. I think Lee Halverson has been with our children, and she will eventually be here to receive you as I make my way toward the baptistry. But if you would like this day to profess Christ as Lord, to be baptized at a later time, or to unite your life with this fellowship of faith, you may do so this glad Easter day as we stand together and sing.